today. We're glad you're here, and I hope you're ready. How many's ready to receive the word of the Lord today? Come on now. How many are ready to receive the word of the Lord today? All right. Come on now. How many are ready for the game today? Come on now. How many are ready to receive the word of the Lord today? There you go. Come on now. It's anticipation. You gotta anticipate. God, you're going to speak to me today. I guarantee the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you if you allow your heart to be open. Now, we're going to continue in this series on the pursuit of happiness. I'm going to talk to you today about the power of generosity. The power of generosity. Most people are not naturally generous people. It's not a natural instinct that we have to have in our life. It's something we got to develop over time. And I will tell you this. What's one of the first words we learn as a child? What is one of the first words we learn as a child? It's not to say mommy and daddy. What's one of the other first words besides mommy and daddy? It's what? Mine, right? No, and mine. Can I have that? No. Why? Mine. Mine. I mean, you can have a kid who's 4 years old who hasn't played with that baby toy since they've been two. It can be sitting broken at the bottom of the toy box for 2 years. But you bring another kid over, and they get a hold of that toy, start playing with it, all of a sudden, it's mine. You ain't played that toy in 2 years. But all of a sudden, it's yours, it's mine. And we look out and we grab those things and we want it. You know, it's kind of something we don't grow out of. It's kind of like when we got married. When I got married, my wife, I let her know. I was like, honey, you know, what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine. That's the way this marriage is going to work. Just playing around, but sort of. And she let me know right away. She let me know. As a matter of fact, I think I have a picture of our first comforter. This is kind of the way it was. This is the way it was. Her side of the bed and my side of the bed, you know? Her side was a lot more room than my side of the bed. Any husbands feel the pain out here? You know what I'm talking about, okay? We're naturally territorial, aren't we? We're kind of, this is my territory. This is mine, and I got to have this. I want this. This is my territory. It's kind of like I was thinking of the story of the day of my dog. We got a dog. You've been talking about it here the last few weeks. It's about the, we've had it about 5 or 6 weeks now. And she's a mini doodle, weighs all of 10 pounds, very ferocious. And she's not ferocious at all. She's a big baby. But I was taking her outside the other day. She's learning how to go outside and go to the bathroom and potty training, you know, and I was taking her outside. And all of a sudden, she got bold, and she decided she was going to chase off of our property, off of our lawn. There was two very ferocious white poodles on our yard. Ferocious white poodles. I mean, they were terrifying. And she didn't like them in our yard, and so she let them know, and she started barking and chased them off our yard, and she chased them all the way to the edge of our property, and it's like she knew exactly where our property line ended. And she stopped right there. And she chased them off, and then she stopped and did her business right there, marked that territory, and walked away. She's like, it's like, I dare you come back over. This is my yard, and she marked her territory. You know, and I was like, is this a girl dog? I thought it was a guy. I mean, she acted like a guy dog. She was all about marking that territory and letting those dogs know you're on my turf. And I think some of us are kind of the same way, aren't we? You know, it's mine. This is my territory. You know, we go marking our stuff, don't we? We may not do the same thing, but we do the same thing inside. This is mine. This don't ask for this. You know, this is my domain. This is my world. And so we got to realize that the key to happiness, according to Scripture, is learning to have a generous spirit, learning to let God make you a generous person. Now, we're studying the secrets of happiness here, and we looked at Scripture, and we've been looking at Scripture, and we looked at this happiness scale that they're telling us now, as doctors and researchers are telling us. Let's bring up that scale one more time, just for point of reference, that half our happiness is affected by our DNA. Some people are just naturally happy. Some aren't. But somewhere about half of that, it's just in your DNA. You really can't control that, whether or not you're happy or not. Our life events make up 10% of our happiness. And we would think that our life events would be a lot more than that, right? We think if I have great things happen to me, I'm going to be a lot happier. But what we're finding out now is if you're not happy before you get the raise, that after you get the raise, it may bring temporary happiness, but you'll fall right back into the same pattern you was before because it doesn't bring happiness long term. And long term, our life events really only affect about 10% of our happiness. The things that we can control, though, we're finding out that our habits control about 40% of our happiness. that we can control these habits. And so we've been looking to what Paul talked about, living happy in our life, about growing in the Lord, in Philippians chapter 4. We've been spending this whole time in Philippians chapter 4 during this series, talking about what Paul had to say as he was writing us from prison on how to be happy. And so let's look at those habits we've been looking at. The first thing we talked about in pursuing peace, remember that? Pursuing peace, replacing worry with prayer. That it's like hot potato. When I get worried and it comes to me, I don't grab a hold of it. I don't hang on to it, but I give it away to God. Worry comes, stress comes. It's going to come to me, but don't take hold of it, but give it away to God. Give it away to God. And then we do what? We learn to find the awesome in our life every day. Learn to find the awesome. Get up. Say, God, I want to find the awesome in today in my life. The second week we talked about the power of our attitude. How our attitude changes things. Habit number three was fix your thoughts. That we got to learn to fix our thoughts. That Paul said that whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of praise, whatever is excellent, that we put our mind toward these things. Fix our mind on these things. When your mind's always fixed about things that aren't true, what the enemy says about you in your mind, what social media tells you about what's going on, when all these things are happening, you put your mind on things that aren't true, you're going to live in a place of depression, worry, anxiety. But we don't need that. We got to learn to fix our thoughts. Fix our thoughts on the things of God. This is how our power of our attitude. I choose to fix my thoughts on the things of God. And he said, put your faith into practice. Learn to flex your faith muscle. Use it. And then last week we talked about the power of contentment. Habit number five was this. Learn to savor the simple things in your life. Learn to savor the simple things. Paul said, learn to be content. I've never preached on that before ever in my life. And last week I preached it for the first time. I believe it set a lot of people free here because they were saying, you know, I'd always thought of contentment like complacency. And it's not. It's not being complacent at all. Contentment is, God, no matter what season I'm in, I'm learning to walk in a spirit of contentment that, God, I can walk through any season. That's what Paul said. When I have a lot, I'm content. And when I don't have a lot, I'm still content because I'm learning to walk in that season because my contentment doesn't come from things or from accomplishment. My contentment comes from God. And when you realize and make the connection, my contentment comes to God, you will never leave me nor forsake me. That my joy is found in you. My resources are found in you. That I can learn to savor the simple things. And practice number six, practice gratitude. The things that I show appreciation to, the things that I appreciate, those things increase in value. Let me say it again. The things that I appreciate show what? It increases the value in those things in my life. So if I want to be rich, I learn to increase the value of what I already have. See, being rich is not about getting anything new. It's about becoming rich with what God's already given you. God, I'm rich in the blessings of the Lord. Whether I have plenty or whether I have lack, it doesn't make a difference. Because God, my value comes from you. My peace, contentment comes from you. And I'm going to show you gratitude in the plenty and in the other things. Now today, we're going to get into some other things. Paul was, let's pick it back up. Paul's right there in prison teaching us how to live this life of peace and contentment. And Paul was saying this. You know, Paul could have very easily been like, man, this is it. This is the last road for me. They're probably going to execute me. They're probably going to stone me. They're probably going to let me die here in prison. But instead, Paul was saying, I'm not done yet. That's what he was saying. I'm not done yet. I'm at content. God's in control. I'm not done yet. And for some people in this room, let me say it to you. God's not done with you yet. God is not done with you yet. I said a quote several years ago, and I thought it was really fitting today. I want to bring it back up. Is this, we got to stop putting a period where God wants to put a comma. Stop putting a period where God wants to put a comma in your life. Let me declare it to you today, God is not done with you yet. Well, Pastor, I'm at the age now, I can't. God's not done with you yet. If you're still breathing, God's not done with you yet. He's still got a plan for your life. Well, Pastor, I blew it. God's not done with you yet. Well, Pastor, I don't know. God is not done with you yet. He has a plan. He has a plan. And the more we can enter into a season of peace and contentment in God, that God can unlock that plan in our life and lead us where he's taking us. God is bigger. That's why Paul keeps saying, man, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Smile. Rejoice. Give praise to the Lord. Because one, God is bigger than any circumstance. He writes those words while he's in prison telling us to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because God's bigger than the prison. God's bigger than the circumstances you're facing. Someone say amen. Now, let's get back into it now in Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Paul's telling us here, he says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news. And then I traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. And he goes, I don't say this because I'm wanting something from you. So I'm not saying this to raise more money. What I'm saying is this, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. He was saying, you supported, you gave out of the kindness of your heart. Out of the kindness, you showed me kindness. You sent me food when I was in prison. You sent me gifts when I was here. You supported me when I couldn't support myself. You guys took care of me. He goes, and I want you to know something. God's going to reward your kindness. And he was talking about a spirit of contentment, a spirit of peace. And he was saying this, that man, it's going to be upon you when you learn this, that happiness comes from sharing what you have. Happiness comes from sharing what you have. Habit number 7, give generously. Learning to give generously. And I'm not just talking about money here. I'm talking about every area of our life. Learning to give everything we have belongs to God. Our time, our talent, our treasure. It all belongs to the Lord. Now today, I want to bring this picture up. Anybody recognize this picture of these two guys? Anybody recognize this? Some of you may know them as Preston and Landon. Some of you think this is Preston when he's the guy who takes the videos and pictures and he's got his own little business going over here and in college and he's growing up. Doing a great job. And some of you see a little small Landon there. You just see him as big Landon now. Guy who's an all-state football player. And man, I look at him like this. This is the way I still see him, okay? You guys see him as that. I see him as still our babies, you know? Any parents understand what I'm talking about? And whenever this age, I remember once we were in a store and we were going through the checkout line at the store. And isn't it amazing how they put all the candy right there at eye level for all the kids? I mean, what a marketing genius, right? We're going to market all this candy and all these things. We don't want to buy them. They put it right at the eye level when they're trapped into that little space when you're going through the line to check out. And my kids, like your kids, are always begging for everything in line. Give me this. Give me that. Give me some gum. Give me some candy. Blah, 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 blah. And most of the time, I'm like, no. You don't need any more sugar. You know, we're not buying. Every time we come through the line, I'm not going to buy all this junk. But every once in a while, I have a heart. Every once in a while, I like to do good things for my kids, just like you do. And I would buy them something. I remember one time I bought my kids some Skittles. We're going through the line. Preston and Landon, we're going through the line. We bought some Skittles. Anybody here like Skittles? Come on. Raise your hand if you like Skittles. Anybody in the front row like Skittles? This is what happens. When you sit in the front row, God just automatically blesses you. Come on, pull your hand out. There you go. See, it's a blessing. Come on, Corey. Come on. It ain't going to hurt your diet that much. Come on. God's blessing you right now. Yeah, hallelujah. Anybody else in the front row here need some? Okay, here we go. You want, no, not, I'm not playing. Come on, you want some Skittles? Okay. So we love Skittles. Taste those Skittles. How do they taste? Taste good? Anybody else like Skittles over here? Come on. Like some Skittles. You want some Skittles? Okay. How about this side? Oh, come on. Come on. Cut his hand. They some Skittles over here. They love Skittles over here. Pastor Tom, he loves Skittles. Yes. There you go, Ellie. Okay. Come on. Come on, next. Psych. That's what happens when you sit in the front row. So you sit in the front row. Sometimes you get unknown blessing for sitting on the front row supporting the pastor. How do those? Don't you love? There's something about the magic of Skittles. I love Skittles. And as I bought these Skittles for my kids, and we were on the way home, I said, "Let me have some of those Skittles." And my kids said the same thing your kids would say at that age. No. They grabbed the bag of Skittles, and this is what they did. Dad, you want some of my Skittles? I'm like, just give me a few Skittles. I'm not going to take the whole bag. I just want a bite. And parents know what I'm talking about. And this is really good, by the way. These Skittles are really good. What my kids didn't realize at their young age was this, that if I wanted to, I could put my foot right inside their chest. And I could pry these Skittles from them. I could overpower them and take these Skittles if I wanted to take it from them. Because I'm a lot stronger than they are. Today, I probably couldn't do that. But back then, I could do that. I could take these skills from them. Well, they also didn't know this, that even if Dad ate all their Skittles, that I could go back into the store and I could buy them 100 bags of Skittles if I wanted to. I could give them so many Skittles, they'd be sick of Skittles every day. If I wanted to, there's rain Skittles in their life. They could get up and taste the rainbow every day. Dad had the resources that I could have given them as many Skittles as I wanted, and they were worried about just giving me a little bit that I asked for. See, they didn't have the concept of what the Father was capable of doing in their life. See, some of you have the same idea. Some of us, we have the same idea when it comes to God. God, you're wanting this in my life? You're asking me to give a little bit of this in my life? We don't have the concept. It's kind of like when you come home. Maybe, guys, you've been working late, and you come home, and everybody's already eating dinner, and you go to the fridge, and you open up for the leftovers, and maybe there's a little bit of pizza in the fridge, and you eat it or something else. And about 30 minutes later, one of your kids comes down and opens up the fridge and goes, "Ah! Who ate the rest of my pizza?" "I did. I can't believe you ate that. It was my pizza. I was saving that for later." And in the back of your mind, maybe you're like me, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, okay, first of all, I think this is my house that I pay for. I think that electricity that's running that fridge is coming from my bill. I think that fridge I bought was on my money, and as a matter of fact, I probably bought that pizza that was in there. But all of a sudden now, this is yours. You ever had those moments where you're just kind of shaking your head like, you know, kids, you just don't get it? See, I think sometimes God does this to us. I think sometimes God looks at us as like shaking his head like, "You don't understand, that's my home. You don't understand, that's my car. That's my job I've given you. That's my family I've given you. This is the things I've given to you." And you say, "God, I can't use this. I can't give it back to you." No, see, the place of living at peace is when you realize everything I have belongs to the Lord. Everything I have belongs to God. Without God, I wouldn't have anything. Whether it's a little or a lot, it doesn't make a difference. It all belongs to God. And when I get into that mentality, it makes it easier for me to become more of a generous person and unlock what God's wanting to do in my life. But when I see everything as mine, my territory, my things, then I lose out on the joy that God's got for my life. And he loses out on me being the blessing. He wants to use me to be his hands and feet, and I've got to be generous to do that. I've got to open up my heart to do that. And say, "God, whatever you want me to do, I will do that. God, you want me to open my home, have a small group, a life group? My home is yours. God, you want me to give someone a ride to church or a ride to the doctor or to the ride to the store? I'll do that. Because why? Because my car belongs to you. God, you want me to help somebody? God, you want me to bring my tithe and offering? Surely, God, I'll bring my tithe and offering to you because it belongs to you." See, it's learning to say, "God, everything I have, it belongs to the Lord. Everything, my time, my talent, my treasure, it all belongs to the Lord." It's a spirit of generosity that God is trying to unlock in our lives, that we got to let him do that. See, but this is the problem, is this. We got to realize that things happen in our life. And, you know, when we do our math ourselves, we're like, "All right, God, if I don't have very much, I'm struggling to get by, I don't have very much, and then I give away some, then I'm going to have a lot less than what I had to begin with." That's the way we do math. That's the way we do equations. But this is the problem, is that God's math is not our math. Let me say, God's math is not our math. The way he does things is differently. And when we give away, we think we don't have much. But when you give into the kingdom of God, God multiplies. Ask the widow who God asked to give away. "Hey, give away the little bit you got left over. Cook the food for the prophet, the oil for the prophet. And when you give away what you have, during the famine, for many years, you never went without. For many years, your jar stayed full because you were obedient and giving the smallest you had." Ask the little boy who gave away his lunch to the Lord. "This lunch doesn't seem like a lot. And I give away this lunch and everybody's going to be happy. At least I should eat, be happy." But the little boy gives his lunch to Jesus. Jesus takes that one lunch and multiplies it because his math is not our math. Feeds 15, 20,000 people. See, we can't comprehend that, but God's math is not our math. Our job is to simply say, "God, if you want it, it's yours. If you need it, it's yours. If you ask me to give it, I willingly give it because I know that you've got a bigger plan. And I know that you've got a plan for my life." So it's learning to live my life in a generous way, opening up my life to that. in the book, The Paradox of Generosity. There's a book called The Paradox of Generosity. And in this, they stated very clearly from a scientific evidence, not a biblical, just from a scientific evidence, they say that happiness levels of joy and happiness in people's lives are linked to people who are generous. That people who are generous live longer, they live happier, they live more joy in their life. There's something that unlocks. This is what science is saying. But this is nothing new to you and I, because the Bible's been saying this for a long time. And we know this, it's like God knew our DNA. It's like he knew the way we were created, and he knows if we'll learn to be generous, that it will unlock happiness in our life. It unlocks places in our life that are closed off, and it allows us to become more of an open person, and it releases the joy of the Lord in our life. I have people who come to me for counseling, they'll be depressed and have a hard time, and I'm like, listen, the first thing I want you to do is just get out and help somebody else. Go help somebody. Find somebody you can volunteer and help this week. Get out and help them. Do something kind for somebody. And they'll get out and do that, and it's amazing what will happen. They'll come back and be like, Pastor, man, I got my mind off of my own problems, started helping somebody else. Then all of a sudden I started smiling, and then, it's just brought a new peace to my life. It's brought a new joy. I'm starting to see this joy thing returning to my life. Why? Because you get your focus off of your own problems, begin to help somebody else, give of yourself, and then God heals your heart. It's like, that's how God is. When the more I help you, the more God helps me. The more I minister to you, the more God ministers to me. It just happens that way. And it unlocks a key to happiness in our life. And if you're struggling with being happy, I'm telling you that this generous spirit can unlock so much in your life. God knows. If you would have invested $2,100 in Microsoft 25 years ago, if you'd invested $2,100 25 years ago in Microsoft, they say that today you'd be worth about $1 million. Wow. Or if you had invested in Amazon 19 years ago, if you had invested $5,000 into Amazon 19 years ago, today that same $5,000 would be worth about $2 million. Can you believe that? Some of you are like, I told you! I told you to go invest that money in Amazon! No, you wouldn't invest in Krispy Kremes, and now everybody's getting diet happy. Yeah. But for every one of those home runs, there's hundreds and thousands of things that don't hit, right? Things that miss the market, miss, they crash, and they don't pay off. But every once in a while, you invest in something, and it pays off. People invest in things like Apple and Disney. You know, Disney, one of the greatest investments of all time has been Disney. It's been the most consistent market growth over several decades. That Disney has always been consistent in its growth. It's always brought forth a 10, 15, 25% return every year on their investment. It's had a great level of investment return. And people who get buy into Disney get these pretty papers, and it's got, you know, the Magic Kingdom up there, and people feel a sense. It's just like a sense of people feeling pride. You know, I've invested into the Magic Kingdom. And they invest into the Magic Kingdom, and people say, like, man, I love that, because when it happens, I go to Disneyland, and I walk around and go, eat all you want. I love the great crowds, because my stock's just going up. You know, people are happy. This is great. Our stock's just going up. When I see the long lines at Disney movies and people having great turnouts, they're like, yes, I love it. My stock's going up in the Magic Kingdom. But let me tell you today, there's something greater that we invest our lives in. It's the kingdom of God, where the stocks will never go down. The stocks in the kingdom of God will never go down. It's people who invest in the kingdom of God. Where that's how souls are saved. That's how churches are planted. That's how missionaries are sent. That's how churches run. That's how we reach people. It's by people investing in the kingdom of God. I mean, we have people who invest their time, their talent, their treasure throughout the week. Today, when we have people in the first service, several people gave their heart to the Lord this morning. You know why that happened? Because people were down here cleaning the church when nobody else was here. Cleaning it up, taking out the trash, cleaning things up. People were here early, greeting one another. People were here working the children's classrooms. We had people who were here in the music team who drove a long ways. Jay, man, I love Jay. He drives over 45 minutes one way for practice during the week, and then drives home and comes back early. Ted does the same thing way out there in Riverton. Other people in our music team, they're here early, giving up during the week to practice. Why? So when they come in, man, they're ready to go. And our worship team is great. And we have people, our staff, and they're volunteers, and everybody's volunteering. And when someone gives their heart to God, it's the kingdom thing, man. We've all invested in the kingdom, and it's coming together as a team. Not because of Pastor Gene, but because you have invested in the kingdom. when marriages are healed, it's because you have invested in the kingdom. When we plant churches, it's because you have invested in the kingdom. It's the greatest thing, and the stock not only grows here on earth, but when we get to heaven, Scripture teaches we'll see our stock grow in there as well. There'll be people that are there because you have invested in the kingdom of God. It's an eternal investment. It will never stop growing. The kingdom of God is the best investment you can make. God says, you give back to the Lord what happens pressed down, shaken together, running over. I will give it back to you. And you see it here tangible here on earth, and you'll see it tangible in the spirit realm as well, that when you give to the kingdom of God, your time, your talent, your treasure, it's the greatest investment you can ever do. And in return, it brings back a joy to your life. It releases joy in your life. It releases a selfish spirit and allows you to walk in generosity, because God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave the most precious thing he can do. And we respond out of that, God, I love you so much as well. I'm going to give back. I give back who I am. It's a response from grace. Grace demands that I give back. Grace says, hey, God has given us so much. And I respond saying, God, I give you my life. God, release in me a generous spirit. God, release in me a spirit of being generous. See, there's a secret to being generous. It's simply this. It's being generous with what you already have. I've met so many people over the years that, Pastor, when I get a raise, I'm going to start giving to God. Or, Pastor, when I get a different job and I have more time to give away to God, I'm going to volunteer more to the church. Or when I have this happen, I'm going to make this happen. And years go by and they never do it. Why? Because the principle is this. If you don't learn to give right now in any situation you're in, whatever it is, maybe even how small it may be, if I can't steward the $100 God's got to give me now, how am I going to steward $1,000 he gives me later? I got to steward it now. He said, those who are faithful in the small become rulers over much. And so today, you know, we got to steward the time we've been given. We steward the resources we've been given. God, everything I have belongs to you. And when I learn to be a generous person, I'm unlocking keys to happiness in our life. Don't wait to be a blessed first. Be a blessing first. When I get blessed, I'll bless somebody else. No. You bless somebody else and see if God doesn't bless you even more. Anybody can bless. Listen, anybody can bless then. Anybody can bless then. Anybody can give it out then. You know, I love it because you ever have kids that your kids come to you and they're like, Dad, yeah, you know, will you buy me this game? Will you buy me this thing? And you're like, look at the price tag. And you're like, no. If you want to go home and earn it, then maybe I'll bring you back, you know. Go home and clean out the garage, and then we'll come back and get that game. How bad do you want it? But there's other times my kids are like, Dad, do you want to buy me this game? And I'm like, I kind of like that game. I wouldn't mind playing that game. Just buy it. Or, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing that movie. Just buy that movie. Why? Because I want to see it. I buy them that game because I want to play it. Let's be real. See, anybody can give when it benefits you. See, the real test is, can we give when it doesn't benefit us? You know, my kids, man, my boys, as they get older, I remember we went to the stage when they caught up with me in size, and all my shoes would go walking out the door on school time. I'm like, that's my shoes, that's my shoes, and that's my shoes. Those are my pants, that's my shirt, that's my jacket. And they all go out to school. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to have to learn to dress like an old man. No wonder these guys are dressing old, because they're tired of their kids taking off with all their clothes. A couple weeks ago, I wore my son's shoes. He got a brand new pair of shoes. I thought, I'm going to wear those to church. I preached in them 2 Sundays ago. Dad, just got those. You're right, you just got them, and I'm going to wear them to church. Hallelujah! You've been wearing my stuff for years. I can mooch it as well. So now when I buy them, I'm like, because we all worry about the same size now. I'm like, oh, hey, I can wear those shoes. I don't mind buying those shoes. See, anybody can do that when I benefit from it. But the real test is, do I do it because I need to be a blessing? That's where the real charge is, the real challenge is. God, am I going to bless somebody because I simply want to be a blessing because I'm not looking for anything in return? I may help somebody out, and nobody may ever find out about it. But God, you asked me to bless them, and I'm going to help them out. I want to learn to be a generous person. I'm going to give my time. I'm going to volunteer. And nobody may never hear about it. I may volunteer. Nobody may never hear about it. But it's okay. Why? Because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And God is unlocking in us a generous spirit that allows the freedom to come in our life. Number 8, we've got to learn to receive graciously. You know, A lot of times we don't struggle with giving. But many of us here maybe struggle with receiving. And God wants us to learn to do both. He doesn't want us to be selfish, territorial, like this is mine. No, God, it's yours. Everything I have is yours. Opening up my hands to the Lord. But also I got to be just as good about learning to receive graciously. We've all had seasons when we've gone at it alone. We've all had seasons when we worked through things alone. I remember self-reliance. You know, when we have self-reliance, I rely on my own self to get through this, the struggle, the season, the hard season. I'm going to get through it. We pull up our bootstraps and we find our way through it. The only problem is that creates a distortion in our life that we don't need anybody else, including God. God wants us to learn to give, and he wants us to learn to receive. You know, sometimes when as you guys have known me over several years, you know, I've had times when I'm doing really good with my weight, and I'm working out, eating clean, and other times I've gained it all back, and then the next season I've lost it again and gained it back. I've had up and down times of myself losing weight and gaining weight. And I'm getting better at it every year, kind of get a little better at it, and learning how to control it, and I'm getting smarter. But I can tell you there's just times when I'm doing really good in the gym, and I'm eating clean, exercising, and I'm doing really good. And I can look at people who are coming in and doing it wrong and be like, they're just wasting their time. They're not even doing it right. In my mind, they're not even doing it right. They're wasting their time. You know, you're wasting time. Why aren't you doing it right? You got to combine this exercise with a certain kind of diet and how you do it. You know, and it's like, oh, it's aggravating in my mind. If I'm not careful, because I've had success in something, I'll look at somebody else and judge them. Only until a year later, when I've gained that weight back, be looking at them and go, hey, we're in this together, right? Okay, yeah. You see, when I realize, man, I can lose it, I can get it. We're in this together. The struggle is real. I'm just glad to be here, man. You see, when you learn to receive, it takes away that judgmental spirit. It takes away where you can say, God, I only want to give, but I also want to receive help from others. I need to open up my life and say, God, I ain't got it. I've gone through a season this past year, especially, where I've had to call some pastors up and say, I need some help. I need some help in my life. I want you to speak into my life. And I give them permission. Hey, speak into me. Talk to me. Be real. If the Holy Spirit gives you something, speak into me. Speak over me. And here's some things I'm struggling with. Help me out. And I can be very prideful and be like, well, my church is bigger than their church, so I can't tell them I need help. You know? I don't need to be asking them. I don't even want help in them. No, I've had to humble myself and say, no, guys, I need you to help me. And I need you to speak into me. And it's unlocked such a great thing in my life. It's unlocked a place in my life that I needed to be at. And God's doing a great thing in my life and helping me out. But it comes when we open up. We've got to open up. And we've got to all learn to do that in our life. We say, God, I'm opening up. Not just giving away, but I'm also opening up and allowing people to give back into me. Allow people to speak back into my life. Allow people to encourage me. I'm an encourager. Allow people to encourage me back, to speak back into me. You see, when we have closed hands, we can't give it away and we can't receive. God wants us to have open hands so we can give it away and receive it back. It's a thing that God's wanting. I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. We've got to open our hands to be happy. Do you hear what I'm saying? To walk in that happiness, to pursue the spirit of happiness, you've got to learn what it means to have open hands. Open hands to give, open hands to receive. If you close your hands, you're closing your heart. This is mine, you're closing your heart. No, I open my hands, I open my heart. Are you following me? I open my hands to give, I open my heart. Open my hands to receive, same posture, I open my heart. Look at this last verse as we read it in Philippians 4, 19, 20. Paul said, in the same way, God who takes care of me will what? Now remember, he's praising them, thanking them for their goodness. He said, God's going to repay your kindness. And he says, and the same God who takes care of me will what? Supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us through Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and forever. Amen. Whose Skittles are you holding? Whose Skittles do you have? Are they your Skittles or are they God's Skittles? When I realized, Dad, all riches belong to you. You'll supply all my needs. This is nothing to you, God. So my Skittles belong to you. When I don't have very much, God, it all belongs to you. When I have plenty, God, it all belongs to you. When I'm struggling, God, it still all belongs to you. When I'm not struggling, God, it still all belongs to you. Unlock a spirit of generosity in me. Fight the urge to close off, to be selfish, to be territorial. And say, God, no, no, I want to, this is all your territory. My life is all yours. I give it all to you and unlock that key to happiness in your life. I want you to bow your heads this morning. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the question. You say, Pastor, you're talking about happiness, and I don't have any in my life. If I'm being honest, I can tell you I'm not a happy person. And I realized today that, man, I've been thinking about it for a long time, and today I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. We won't do anything to point you out or embarrass you in front of anybody, but I want to make sure you have a chance to respond today. If you hear, say, Pastor, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior today. Without anybody looking but me, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Raise it high. If you haven't raised it yet, raise it. Thank you. I see those hands. One more time. I'm going to ask you one last time. If you haven't raised your hand, raise it right now. Say, I'm ready to accept Jesus. Thank you. Okay. So what we're going to do today, we're going to say this prayer together out loud. As Christians, we'll say it with you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I surrender all of my life to you. I give you everything I am. From this day forward, I will follow after you. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. I will live my life as your child. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, say, welcome to family, God. Give him a hand. Yeah, we're excited. That happens today because people gave. That happens today because people have given. If you raise your hand today, we invite you before you leave to stop by the back of our welcome center. We got a free Bible in there we'd love to give you. Make sure you pick that up today. I invite you to stand on your feet today. How many say, Pastor, I want God to unleash a generous spirit in me. I want God to take my generosity to a new level. Anybody here? That's you. Raise your hand. The Holy Spirit speaking to you today. Okay. All right. This is good. We're going to sing this song as we close today. It says, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And if you want to come to the front, I invite you to step out of your seat. Come to the front and say, God, I'm breaking off chains of selfishness, chains of isolation, chains of closed hands. And today, I want to enter into a new season where I open up my hands, open up my heart to be a person who gives generous, and receives freely from the Lord. Come on, let's make it clear.
Come on, let's sing this song out this morning that we all know from our hearts. God, we receive the power. Come on, everybody, sing, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, let's sing it from our hearts today.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
And what does that name do? It breaks every chain. It breaks chains. And it receives. Come on, let's sing it. There is power to break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Amen. I want you to raise your hands. I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you. That God, you are a God who breaks chains in our life. And I pray right now, Father, you are breaking off, Lord, selfish spirits in our life, isolation spirits in our life. God, you're breaking those things down. And I pray right now, you are releasing a generous spirit, an open hands, open heart. That God, we can leave here being your feet, your hands, your mouth, Lord, your heart to this community. And I pray to Father, we would leave here, Lord, willing, God, to just be generous. No matter what you ask of us, God. We would be generous people, willing to give to the kingdom of God, willing to invest in the kingdom of God in all areas of our life. And God, I thank you today. You're releasing, God, you're releasing, Lord, those selfish spirits, Lord. You're allowing self-denial to fall off. And God, you're allowing us to walk in a spirit of freedom. You're allowing us to walk in a spirit of joy. And God, I pray that joy would flow throughout everything they do all week long. A new joy, new peace. Is flowing through the hearts of your people, and we say together, amen and amen. Put your hands together one more time. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Eat a lot of fun party food. Cheer for your favorite team and have a great time. God bless you guys.